Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, and it's Real Ghost Stories Online, our weekly live edition of the program. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Phone number to call in live, it is on your screen right now, and this is only if you're watching us live at 8 p.m. Central hour of today, which is the 20th of, March?
First day of spring,
2018. On a Tuesday night, 216-GHOST-10, 216-GHOST-10 is our phone number to call in and share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, this evening on the Facebook live stream, I thought we could just bring this up rather than like later in the program. Something we used to do here on like some of our original Facebook live streams, it was Ask Tony and Jenny. You know, questions.
Yeah.
So if the moment strikes you, if the question strikes you, feel free to post that there, your question for us on the feed, and I will do my best to monitor it throughout the broadcast tonight, and we'll throw those questions in intermittently between the stories. So welcome everybody who has joined us. Thus far, I'm just pulling it up right now here on my phone. That's why if you're watching us live, I'm staring down. Dustin, Sarah, Dave, Carrie, Houston, Diana, welcome everybody so far that's chiming in and saying hey. We appreciate that. Let's pull up our phone system here so we can see when folks are calling in. And it looks like we have one that's already on the way. And after we, in fact, caller at 801, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, I'm calling. My name is Glenn. I'm calling from Ogden, Utah.
Oh, okay, Glenn. Hang on 1 second for me, okay? I wanted to grab your call. I just got to talk about this week's Spirit with Spirits. Spirit. White Tiger is what we have here this evening. This is Maryland Rye Whiskey. They have whiskey over there. It's a family that actually left Laos a long, long time ago. Came to the States, and at one point, I believe it was in the last 10, 20 years, I got the history over here. I was reading right before the show about them. They came to the U.S. in 83. In 2013, he found their old family recipe for making Laotian whiskey with rice.
Cool.
And to their knowledge, no one else is doing this at all in the U.S. So they started up this distillery out in Maryland, and it's really good stuff. So they have all different products, but the White Tiger, they have the rye whiskey here, and they have the just a plain old whiskey.
It's the Lau Lau style.
Lau Lau style, yep. And I do have to say, strong stuff. This one, 89.66 proof. That one, 105 proof. So it is, if you like your strong whiskeys, that's one to check out. So White Tiger, thank you guys for being our spirit with spirit here tonight. All right, let's go over to our first caller of the evening from Utah. What you got for us tonight?
Hey, Tony and Jenny, it's really good to talk to you for the first time.
Yeah.
I mentioned a few weeks ago about, I worked in security and I worked at a hotel.
Okay.
In Ogden. And this place is called, it was at the time in 2013 and into 2014, it was called the Summit Hotel. It's now a Marriott. Well, anyway, one night, it was just me and the desk clerk in the front lobby. Well, long story short, I was just giving her, you know, I was just teasing her, just joking around with her. She was going over to this table in the lobby and, you know, making coffee. Well, I was over on the other side at one of the other telephones calling her, and I would call the phone and then I would hang up just as she picked up. Well, anyway, I finally I couldn't take it much longer, and I started laughing. She says, you better watch it. Remember that ghost I told you about that's here? He's a friend of mine. And, you know, it's like, I couldn't take her serious. I don't know if she was joking, if she was serious with me, but anyway, I go back and I don't remember if I was clocking in or clocking out. It was about 2 a.m. And, I've never felt anything before like this, and it's never happened since, but it felt like somebody was right there poking me in my ribs and then on my shoulder and it really caught me by surprise.
I bet. It's a very haunted town, isn't it?
Yeah, I could not tell maybe I'm just tired, but, you know, I got to thinking, you know, after time went on, you know, this has never happened before. It's never happened after, you know, and I'm also a reserve police officer in that, and I do security at other places now and everything. And, but anyway, nothing like that has ever happened. Anyway, I told her about it, and she laughed, and she says, see, I told you, and I never messed with her since.
It's probably a good path to take.
A little too much to be a coincidence.
Yeah, my goodness.
Yeah.
That city, though, has a lot of ghost stories, correct?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, that city that you're in, Ogden. I always say Ogden. I know it's Ogden. I always it comes out the wrong way.
But there's a lot. It has a very interesting past, and there's a lot of places around Ogden that are haunted. Mm-hmm. And I work in a place in an industrial park. It used to be a military base that shut down in 1995. There's a lot of rumors of places around here, including the building I work in, that it supposedly is haunted. But yeah, I told the maid later that day, and that morning, about it, and she laughs, and she says, I've been here for as long as this place has been open, and you wouldn't believe the things that happen around here. And I didn't even know about that until I started hearing about stories and that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I just wanted to let you know call in and tell you about it.
Thanks for sharing that story. It's a good one. And if you got more from over there, we'd love to hear them on another night. But yeah, it's a neat town. If we're ever out there, I'd love to check that out. Cause the distillery actually was one of our spirits a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we had some other stuff. It was really good stuff. So thank you for calling in tonight. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. You have a great night.
Talk to you later.
All right. Our phone number, 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10. We have two calls on hold. There's a call at 682. You hang on. One right ahead of you at 804. Let's go over to that. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi. My name is Samantha. I'm calling from Virginia.
Okay. What do you got for us tonight, Samantha?
I'm sorry if you guys hear a weird whooshing noise. It's my baby's white noise machine, so I apologize.
Okay, it's not a spirit. That's good. We have had weird and whooshing noises on the show before that were never explained.
Yes.
So, yes, thank you for that.
You're welcome. So I'm calling. I've written you guys a few times about experiences that me and my kids have had at my mom's house. And we moved in June, and Tony, I sent you a picture after we moved of the handprint and the steam in my bathroom, where I was the only one in the house taking a shower, and a handprint showed up on the window on the inside of the bathroom when I got out of the shower. So since then, at our new house, we've had many creepy things. You know, I have a newborn, she's almost 3 months old. So in the middle of the night when I wake up to feed her, my bedroom door will open all by itself, just all the way, slowly creak open while I'm feeding the baby. We've had weird, like, moaning sounds in our loft when my fiance and I are just sitting downstairs chilling out after the kids go to bed. I think the creepiest thing that happened most recently, aside from the door, because, you know, being alone, awake alone in the house in the middle of the night and the door creaking open, you're like, oh my God. But my son was playing with the remote control car that he got. And one day I'm upstairs and he starts yelling, and him and his sister are sitting on a couch, and the remote is in the middle of the floor, and the car is just driving around in circles in the living room, and then tries to like roll up the wall. It's one of those like flip over cars. Now I was like, can we stop please? And it just kind of stopped. But then what creeped me out is 2 days later, I went into my son's room and he had all the batteries out of every toy, just in the middle of the floor. And he had ripped the battery pack out of the remote control car. And I asked him, I said, Jacoby, what are you doing? And he's like, I was trying to let Paul Taylor out. He needed to get out. And I'm like, oh, well, did he leave us? And he was like, yeah, mommy, he's gone. And since then, other than the door opening, which still happens, we haven't had anything else happening. So I don't know. It's very creepy.
So what is the significance, maybe I'm just being dumb here, of taking the batteries out and letting him out?
Well, I don't know. I'm assuming my papa is Papa Taylor, and he mm-hmm. passed away 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if Jacoby thought Papa Taylor was driving the car or...
Okay, and by taking the batteries out, it would stop him. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
That's what I assume.
You know, Samantha, I think maybe we've had this happen a couple of times where we've had stories where after a new baby is born, a loved one will come back and kind of stick around just, you know, because they didn't get to see that child. And I'm almost wondering if mm-hmm. he's just trying to, here, let me play with the kids and play with the car, and then, you know, I'll get the door for you while you're getting up to feed the baby. I don't feel like it's, other than the moaning, but the moaning, you know, could be something completely unrelated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really feel like it's right. anything bad. I think it's probably exactly what your son said. It was Papa Taylor.
I'm hoping that is definitely the case, but
yeah.
We'll keep an eye out for more interesting stories. I thought it was so crazy that once we moved, we still had activity in what's basically a brand new house, though.
So. Sure.
That can happen.
Yeah, exactly. And that's I think what surprises a lot of people is when that does happen, but it is certainly a possibility. Thanks for calling in and sharing that story with us tonight. Do appreciate it.
Well, thank you so great. Much. You guys are awesome. You have a great night.
Thank you. Thanks. You too. Phone number is 216-GHOST-10, 216-GHOST-10 to share your real ghost story with us. Do me a favor, if you're watching us live right now on Facebook, please, as we ask every week, press share on this broadcast, on this feed right now, so other folks who have already liked our show are made aware that we're doing this live. I hear from so many folks during the week who they go to Facebook and they're searching their feed at the time we're on, but we're not popping up in it because Facebook only lets so many of those go out. So the more folks that that share it, certainly do certainly does help to let them know and let them be a part of the show. Let's go over to a caller here at 682. Hi, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Jocelyn. I'm from Fort Worth, Texas.
All right. Got a story for us tonight?
Yeah. So this story happened 10 years ago. I was 11, so I'm 21 now. We had just moved into this house, and I had got my room, my own room, for the first time. And so I go to bed like usual, nothing weird. And then I wake up, and there's this white figure on top of me, and I couldn't move. And the first thing that pops to my head is, well, this could be sleep paralysis. And my brother had dealt with it, so that's how I kind of knew the term at that age.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the figure had no face. It was just the shape of a person. And next thing I know, I could move my eyes. So next thing I know, I see my bedroom door open and then it just shuts. And next thing I know, I look back and the figure is gone. And I'm all freaked out, so I just kind of go ahead and start praying, and eventually I fall back asleep. The weird part is, like, the next day, it's Sunday morning, so everyone's having breakfast in the kitchen. And I ask them, like, hey, did anyone go to my room last night? And my mom said, yeah, I heard voices coming from your room and footsteps and a lot of noise, so I checked on you, but when I opened the door, you were asleep.
Huh. That's kind of different to have somebody unrelated to the sleep paralysis event confirm that they heard something going on.
It's like she was picking up on what you were experiencing without having to be in the paralysis state, really.
Yeah. Yeah. So that to me is more than just a sleep phenomenon. That's something going on.
Yeah. I would go ahead.
The weird part is, oh, I was just saying, the weird part is we, on the porch, later on, we could hear footsteps at night occasionally, so.
Creepy.
Yeah, that's one of those, that would be on my top five things I don't want to hear, are footsteps outside my house when there's nobody there.
Mm-hmm. Or the knocking, and you look out there, or the doorbell ringing, and there's no one there to ring the doorbell.
Yes.
I have that all the time where it's like it's the motion sensor goes off, and I look, and there's nobody there. Then I look on the live video, and there's just like a cloud standing in front of the
door. our motion sensor doorbell will pick up cars going by.
It'll pick up squirrels, too.
Yeah, so that's all it
is. I would just love to, like, turn on, like, the – because there's, like, a little video on it, and then just to turn it on my phone someday and, like, just see a squirrel, like – throttling the the doorbell. Like, what the hell is that? That's just it's a squirrel humping the doorbell.
That's nice.
That would be hilarious. You know, her story, you know, I would just, for the folks that are super scientific on the sleep paralysis stuff, where it's like, no, it's all, you know, basically in your head. It's medically explained. How do you explain things like that?
That one.
You know, I mean, those are the ones where I go, okay. Because I think there's a lot of sleep paralysis experiences that are purely psychological. But there's so many like yours or variants of it where it goes well beyond just the person that's having it or into the waking hours or something tying into it. And I'm sure the answer is usually, well, prove it. This is just someone's story. It's like, well, no, they're not set up to do scientific experiments at their house 24/7. But just the sheer volume of people who have these things.
Right.
It happens.
Right.
And so don't be afraid to share that story.
I've never had sleep paralysis again.
No, I mean, it's for some folks, it's like it happens on a regular basis. Uh-huh. For some, it's a one-time thing. It only happened to me once, too. I've never had it again. And that was 15, 20 years ago, right around there. So, it's a weird thing. If you have it, you know exactly what it's like when other people talk. Have you ever experienced anything like it?
No, I haven't.
Do you want it?
No.
You didn't knock on wood.
Knock on wood. I have enough sleep issues as it is.
Sure. I'm kind of surprised, you know, with sometimes where you do, like, have difficulty going to sleep, that you haven't been caught in one of those kind of weird cycles, you know, where it's like, boom. Are you, like, afraid I'm jinxing you by telling you this?
No.
What?
Nothing.
Anyway, I hope it does not happen. And I think it's pretty much beyond most people's control when it does happen. Because if it was like on command, I think a lot more people would actually be doing it willingly to see what it's like.
Probably.
Just to be like, ooh, what's this? So, all right. Thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us. We do appreciate it. Have a great night.
You too, thanks.
All right. The phone number, 216-446-7810, 216-446-GHOST-10 to share your ghost story with us. The phone lines, believe it or not, they're open right now, so you can call in and share with us. In fact, there we go. I was going to go to some questions, but I'm going to go to a caller so they don't hang up.
Okay.
Let's do that. Caller at 717. Hi, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name's Eric, and I'm from Pennsylvania.
Okay, Eric, you got a ghost story for us tonight?
I actually don't have a ghost story. I was just going to, you know, ask you guys, you know, I think it would be pretty cool for you guys to actually do a show about your experiences and what you actually believe yourself, like the full details about any experiences you have gone through, or you know what you really think about all this stuff.
We've done it. We've done like almost 1,000 episodes now, and we have done live episodes just like what you're describing. But through the years, obviously, you know, I think the last one we did like that was a couple years ago. When folks ask us questions and stuff on the show, we always, you know, try and answer them, even if we answered them, you know, way, way back. But good idea.
Yeah, I think he means just put a show together with just our experiences.
Okay, just that. I don't know that we have enough personally to do a show, do we?
I don't think so. It'd be a short episode, yeah. Thankfully.
I mean, knock on wood. I mean, that's one of those things where, you know, we've had some experiences, but we're not like nowhere near, I think, the level of to which we hear on a daily basis.
No.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, though.
Okay.
Have a great night. All right.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye. Let's go to a caller at 385. Hi. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm Corey Roberts.
Hey, Corey.
Calling from Salt Lake City, Utah.
All right. Well, a lot of Utah calls tonight. Well, let's hear your ghost story.
So I just wanted to share one that I had when I was six. I got hit by an SUV.
Okay.
And the impact killed me. Well, so I guess I wouldn't exactly say it killed me, but I had an out-of-body experience.
Okay.
And I remember looking down at my body and the person that hit me, and she was freaking out, and I was just lifeless, laying in the road. And then something told me to look up. And I saw my grandfather standing there. And my grandfather raised me from when I was little, and he died unexpectedly when I was six. And this happened in the summer, the accident. And I remember seeing him, and I ran up to him. I gave him a hug. And I said I wanted to stay there with him. And like, I saw the other side in a sense. And I mean, it wasn't all bright lights, but to me, it was a nice green field. And my grandpa looked as if he was in his 20s, healthy and happy, and he told me that I couldn't stay with him, and that I had to go back down to my body. It wasn't time for me to go. He gave me 3 hugs that lasted 2 seconds each, and on the third one, I felt a shock, and I woke up, and I was in the ambulance.
And that was the experience.
Yeah.
Wow. When you were seeing the other side, was there any fast food restaurants in the field or anything of that? Anything? I just got a look from Jenny. I'm curious. I've always asked, was it just a field? Like, what else did you see over there?
Well, I saw it was just a greenfield was tall grass, and it was really warm. I felt a real warm presence, and it just, I didn't feel sad. There was just joy and happiness in there.
Good. That's common.
I was going to ask, have you had any experiences from that accident forward? A lot of times when people have a near-death experience where they actually clinically die and then come back, they will have what we refer to as their veil thinned, and they will start to have other experiences where they're able to have the ability to sometimes sense ghosts, see ghosts, feel ghosts, or other things like that.
Yeah, actually, I do. Shortly after that, I lived at my mom's house in the basement, and every morning at 3 a.m., everything in my room would just, like, shut off and wouldn't work or anything. So I'd wake up like clockwork, and I'd take my flashlight out into the hallway, and my flashlight worked and the phone worked, but the minute I went back into my bedroom, nothing worked. And then like 20 minutes later, lights and the TV would start to flicker on and off, and I'd be laying in bed and I'd look into the hallway, and I saw a figure. He was about 7 feet tall, and he'd pace the hallway, and every time he stopped, every time he passed my door, he'd stop and stare, and then he'd walk past again.
That's one of those things where when it's thinned, you kind of get the level of good and bad.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. And there was also a figure that was that would always stand by my closet. I don't know why, but every time I looked at him, I felt safe and assured. But every time I looked in the hallway, like, that figure's gaze and that figure's, how would you describe it?
His stare.
Yeah.
Unsettling experience. Thank you for sharing both experiences. One good, one a little more unsettling. But we do appreciate your call tonight. Thanks for calling in and sharing that with us here on the show. Our phone number is 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10 to share your real ghost stories with us. We have a caller at 801. Hang on 1 second there. I just wanted to answer a quick question on Facebook before we go to you at 801. Teresa says, are you guys keeping track of your spirits that we're having every week?
You kind of are. Program.
And I want to show this. This is a project that we're actually going to be showing on your show here in the coming weeks. We made a spirit wall, and this is what the spirit wall looks like. And it's right behind us. And it's right back over that way.
Right, straight down there.
Jenny. We got a plywood board, did some, stained it, stenciled it, mm-hmm. And then built the shelves. Jenny built the shelves.
Of course I did.
If you want to see Jenny build some stuff, you have to watch Confused Room and see exactly.
Got power tools.
Yeah, it's interesting. Happens. So made those shelves, and that's where we're putting the spirits that we get in each week. We call it our spirit wall. So to answer your question, that's kind of how we're keeping track of it that way. I do have like records of what came in, what's going on, what episode, but I haven't really put anything on the website specifically like a list of it, but that's an idea. Let's go to our caller at 801. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Lonnie, and I'm calling from Salt Lake City, Utah, actually.
It is.
It's Utah night. Yeah. Oh, you're the third caller from Utah. That's funny.
There's an algorithm that's just pushing our show to Salt Lake City tonight.
And, okay.
Like, everyone there is getting the show. So I don't know why. Well, let's hear your story.
So my family is very sensitive to the other side, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Sure.
But there's one correlation with a lot of my stories from when I was younger is my dad. So my dad's still alive, and he sees things all the time. He hears things all the time. So the story takes place. I was about 7, and my great-grandmother had just passed away, and I was extremely close with her, like, we were best friends. I'm the only one in the family that looked anything like her when she was younger. So she just took to me, and I loved her a lot. So she had just passed away, and I remember that it was over Easter weekend, and we had driven into Utah to go to the funeral, and she, like, she's getting ready to pass. So we drove in, and I remember going up to the hospital room, and she wasn't responding, and my dad was acting really weird. Like, he just kept looking over his shoulder, and he would, like, turn his head like someone had talked into his ear. Just very weird. And when we got into the room, I went to say goodbye to her because she hadn't quite passed yet. And I said goodbye, and I was sitting in the chair, and I started getting very, like, claustrophobic, and I was getting uneasy, and I was getting kind of agitated. And I remember looking at my dad, and my dad said, "You need to get out of here." And I said, "Yeah, I don't like it in here anymore. I need to leave." So we walked down to the hallway, and the feeling left. And I asked him, I said, "What's going on?" And I said, "What is that?" And he goes, "Well, what'd you feel?" And I said, "I felt like there were just so many people in the room. Like, I just had to get out of there. There's just so much going on. And it felt like people were coming in and out, but you couldn't see anybody." And he said, "Well, that's your great grandpa. He's come to come get great grandma." And I said, "Well, she's not leaving yet." And he goes, "No, it's time for her to go." And he said, "Do you want to stay out here?" And I said, "Yes, I can't be in there anymore. It's just freaking me out." So later that night, she passed away. And the funeral was held the next day. And then a couple days later, I was sleeping on the couch in her house, and I had a dream. And in the dream, she came to say goodbye to me. Sorry if I get emotional. She still comes and sees me every once in a while. So she came to say goodbye, and she told me that she was always going to be with me, and that I didn't have to be scared anymore. And I told her, I was like, "Well, great grandma, I just love you, and I don't want you to go." And she's like, "It's okay, honey." And she gave me a hug, and she, like, the dream started to fade, and this bright light showed up, and she walked to the light, and then the light slowly faded. And as the light faded, I started waking up. So I start waking up, and I literally could feel someone sitting on the couch next to me, kind of like when you sit on the couch and your child's laying next to you and you kind of lean over sideways to hug them. Mm-hmm. That's what it felt like. And then a few seconds later, my dad came running down the stairs, and he was like, "Are you okay?" And I just looked at him, and I was just, like, flabbergasted that my dad knew. And I said, "Yeah, I'm fine." And he goes, "Are you sure?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm okay." And he goes, "What happened?" I said, "Well, I just had a dream." And he goes, "What happened in your dream?" So I told him exactly what happened. And he said that he was sitting upstairs, and he was sitting in her chair. And he got this overwhelming feeling to come make sure that I was okay. And when he came running down the room, he could see a mist lift off of me and float up through the ceiling and leave. And so I told him, I was like, "No, I'm fine." I said, "It was weird because I felt like great grandma was giving me a hug." And he said, "Well, she did." And I said, "Well, is she gone now?" And he said, "Yes, she's gone, and great grandpa's gone too." So every story that I have along those lines, like, involves my dad at some extent. And I think it was really interesting how I'm experiencing this, and my dad knew exactly what was happening as I was experiencing it.
That's interesting. A lot of the times it's when you are sensitive, it's a trait passed through females in a family. There's plenty of men that are sensitive, but when you have, like, I'm sensitive, my mom's sensitive, my grandma's sensitive, we hear that over and over and over. But that's really interesting that it's your dad, and that he's mm-hmm. such a strong sensitive that there's an empathic connection on top of it, that he is picking up on what's going on with you. So that's really interesting. I think it's really cool, though, that he was so open with you about what was going on, so that there wasn't this hush-hush, you know, don't talk about it. It's more acceptance, and I really mm-hmm. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, because I love listening to your show, and I hear that all the time, that it's always, like, from the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad got it from his mom.
Okay.
So this is going back. I mean, I have stories of things that have happened to me and my siblings that happened to my dad and happened to his mom. That's like a generational thing.
Yeah.
So, and it's just like my dad's side of the family. My mom's side isn't very sensitive. But that was one thing I appreciated growing up, was he was super open. And still now to this day, I mean, he'll still call me and he'll be like, is everything okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. He goes, you seem kind of stressed. Are you sure you're okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. So
it's nice to have that.
When I do have experiences, I can call him and say, hey, this just happened to me. And he's like, well, that was weird. Were you scared? No, not really.
That must be nice, and it's not just about with, okay, no, that's it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that with us tonight. We really do appreciate your call.
Yeah, thank you. I enjoy you guys' podcast.
All right, have a great night. Phone number 216-446-7810 to share your real ghost stories with us. Caller at 567, hang on. Caller at 915, hang on. The next one in line is a call from somewhere in the land of central Wisconsin. I once had a 715 area code myself. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, my name's Abby, and I'm from Wisconsin, as you just stated, near the Eau Claire area.
Okay, cool. Yep, very good. That kind of covers like Wausau, Eau Claire. Does it go all the way to Minnesota? Does it go all the way to the state line? Or is it, I don't know where the line cutoff is.
No, I'm from Augusta area. Okay. I don't even think you probably don't know where that is.
I don't think so, no. But
Eau Claire is probably about an hour away from Minnesota,
sure.
I think.
I had my 10th birthday party at like the Chuck E. Cheese in Eau Claire. Yeah, my.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
they don't have Chuck E. Cheese anymore.
I don't even think it was a Chuck E. Cheese. I think it was like one of those like kind of knockoff Chuck E. Cheeses where it was just like we have video games and kind of half-assed prizes. But my aunt went to college in Eau Claire. So remember we went and visited her back when I was a kid. All right, let's hear your ghost story.
Okay, well, it's kind of short. I do have a longer ghost story, but I think I'll call in for that another day.
Okay.
But this one actually happened to me not too long ago, and I was actually in Romania when it happened. So,
okay.
I'm pretty far from home.
Yeah.
I actually, the drinking age, I'm 19, but the drinking age there is, you know, like 18, so that was kind of fun while I was there. And I went with some local Romanians to a bar. And I don't know what you guys think about, like, Masons, like the whole Masonic thing. But it was a Masonic bar, which I didn't know until I was already inside the bar. And that's kind of like a big thing in Europe from what I've heard.
Okay.
So I went to this bar. It was kind of creepy. Like, there was a lot of creepy paintings everywhere, but it was really, really cool. The one thing that was kind of unsettling is like the tables were Ouija boards, and that bothered me. And then somebody had said they'd seen a ghost inside the building before, and I just thought the whole experience was pretty cool. It was a little creepy though. But my ghost story actually happened when I went home that night. So I was staying with the host family, and I'm staying in this room all alone, and I just remember being awake, but I couldn't move. It was really creepy, and I just felt like something was on top of me. It was a really heavy presence and just did not feel right, so I automatically just started to pray out loud, and I was saying the Lord's Prayer, and I just remember it was really hard for me to get my words out. And when I was speaking, the words were not, it did not sound like my voice. It sounded like something extremely creepy. Just, I don't know. It was almost like demonic. It was so scary. And I just kept on praying and praying. And all of a sudden, it just stopped. I could move again. I just remember I got up, I turned on the light, and then I just went back to bed. And that was about it.
It's like another night in Romania.
Yeah, exactly. And nothing happened after that. So,
did Did you ever have that happen any other time, or was it just after going to that bar?
It was just after going to that bar. I never had anything else happen to me after that. So it's kind of strange.
Wow. Yeah, that is.
Yeah, I would say there's probably something to do with that bar.
Somehow,
and it's it's decor. Have you ever had a dream, Jenny, where you're dreaming something and you have like a different voice in the dream?
No.
I've had that, but it's usually like I'm singing like karaoke or something, and I'm like suddenly I'm able to just like belt out like whatever I want. Just like I'm like, it sounds like the record. And it's like, oh my God, I can do Simply Red really well tonight. And
you're just a megaphone at that point.
And then I wake up and I'm like, oh shit, I can't do that song anymore.
No. Nope.
But that's the only relatable thing I had to that experience.
I just wanted to let you guys know that I love you both so much. I listen to your podcast every single week. I'm an EPP. I love your guys' podcast.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Really do appreciate that. And thanks for giving us a call tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Have a good one. Bye-bye. Our phone number here, 216-446-7810, to share your real ghost stories with us live tonight. There's a caller at 567. Hang on one ahead of you, and then it'll be over to you. Right now, caller at 915. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. This is Erica. I'm in El Paso, Texas.
Hey, Erica.
Hi. I have a couple of stories for you guys. Something just recently. Well, I'll tell you the first one. The first one happened about 20 years ago. I was still a teenager, and I used to have a cat named Diva, and I came home one night, and I came home and I went into my bedroom. My cat used to always sleep with me. And I went into my bedroom. I shut everything off. I couldn't find you. I called out for her, couldn't find her. So I just went into my room. I thought, you know what? She'll scratch to come in, when she's ready, whatever. I was just so tired. So I went, I laid down, turned everything off. Excuse me. And so I'm laying there in bed and I feel what felt like Diva jump onto me, up onto my chest. And that's what she would always do. She would come up, she'd start, kind of kneading into my chest. Like she wanted to, she'd circle around and just kind of lay down, cuddle up. And so she started doing this and, she did it normally the first time. And then I felt her plop down. So I was like, oh, okay. I even reached up, I pet her a bit and I was like, hey, Diva, whatever, and then I felt her get up again and she starts doing it again. But this time she's doing it a lot more aggressively, a lot more intensely. And I'm thinking, whoa, what's wrong with you? And this time she's actually, her nails are like, jabbing into me. And I'm like, what the hell is wrong with this cat? So in one of those times, she like really jabs her nails into me and I it pissed me off. So I hit her. Well, I say it because, I hit her and I heard her hit my closet, which was right in front of my bed. And, then I hear her scratch and I'm like, yeah, I'll let your ass out, cause I was so mad. And I go over to my door, I open my door and my cat is on the outside in the hallway trying to get in. And I'm like, oh my God, what the hell was that? So I turn on my light and I'm looking around like, what the hell was in my room? What was just on me? Oh my God. I looked down at my chest. I have red marks on my chest where there was obviously something. I actually touched something. I don't know what it was. There's nothing in my room. There's no cat. I'm looking under my bed. There's nothing. And so my cat is standing in the hallway and she won't come in. She just takes off. Like she won't come into my room anymore. So I have no idea what the heck that was. But anyway, that was in another house. My second story actually just happened to my husband and to myself a couple of weeks ago. My husband, we were here and he was like, you know what? I'm going to go grab some ice cream. And since my kids were asleep, I was like, yeah, you go, I'll wait here. So he says, he takes off to the ice cream shop and he says he's walking up to the ice cream shop. And he can see in through the windows, and he sees a little boy in a red jacket sitting there, and he walks in, he smiles at the little boy, and he notices that, you know, the little boy's alone, just sitting at a table, and, you know, but the guy at the counter is standing there, and, you know, starts helping my husband, whatever, and he takes his order, and my husband's standing there waiting for his order, and another gentleman walks in, and the gentleman turns, he's, you know, he notices, he smiles at the little boy, he smiles at my husband, and he places his order, whatever. And then my husband says, the little boy, he saw the little boy get up and go towards the back of the building, I guess towards like the restroom area or whatever. And thought nothing of it, you know, and the gentleman and my husband start speaking a little bit, you know, just kind of talking while they're waiting for their order. So my husband gets his ice cream and he's like, okay, well, you know, nice meeting you, whatever. And they're like, the guy's like, hey, aren't you taking, you know, your son? And he's like, oh, no, you know. He was here, you know, he was, that's not my son, you know, he was just sitting here, I guess he belongs, you know, somebody else, one of the workers or something. And the guy at the counter looks at him and he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, who? And he's like, oh, that little boy, you know, in the red jacket, there's a little boy back there, you know, that was sitting up here, he just went back there. I guess he's one of y'all, you know, somebody that works here. And he's like, no, I'm the only guy here. He's like, there's, you know, and I don't have any kids. So, and he says, oh my God, don't say that. He goes, I've been told that people see a little boy in a red jacket, in the restroom. So my husband's like, what the hell? So he comes home and of course he's all creeped out and he gets home and he tells me a story. And since I'm all into, you know, all this stuff, I kind of just laugh about it. And I tell him, well, I hope he didn't follow you. And, you know, we just kind of laughed about it, whatever. And he just thought it was creepy, freaky, whatever. So about a week passes and my husband's a truck driver. So he takes off and I'm left alone here with my children. And I'm sitting there watching TV and I had just put my kids to bed maybe about 20 minutes before. And I'm sitting there watching TV and the way my sofa's sitting, you can like catch a little glimpse of the hallway, you know, not completely, but you know, you can see if somebody passes. And I'm sitting there watching television and I hear like shuffling, like if somebody's kind of like if somebody ran a little bit and then stopped, and I hear it in the, you know, like in the hallway area. So I'm looking out and I'm thinking, oh, these damn kids, you know, I'm thinking they're up and playing around or whatever, which is like very common for my four boys. And I'm looking over. And just when I'm looking away, I see something cross and it's red. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, what were the boys wearing? And I'm thinking, oh my God, they were all like in their undies, like nobody's wearing red. And so I hear like shuffling behind me, which if the way that person would have ran, they would have come out through my kitchen. And I hear some movement in the kitchen. So I'm like, you all better get to bed. If I find out which one of you it is, you know, you're going to get whatever, I'm screaming at the kids. And there's no response. There's no more noise. So I get up and I, you know, I come around through the kitchen and there's nothing there. Go down the hall. There's nothing there. I go all the way to my boys' room. I open the door. They're all fast asleep. They're all in their undies. Nobody's wearing red undies. And so I have no idea. I haven't seen anything else lately. So I don't know. I don't know if he brought something with him or what, or I don't know. I just freaked myself out, but yeah, that was really, really creepy.
Just a passer through?
Maybe he realized you had little boys at your house and he wanted to play. And I don't mean that in a creepy way, Lord. But I'm just thinking, you know, your husband kind of smiled and acknowledged him, unknowing that he was not, you know, actually there. Uh-huh. So, I mean, we've heard a couple of different times about kids haunting ice cream shops, and those tend to be actual kid spirits haunting ice cream shops. Yeah. I would probably do that too, even though I wouldn't be a kid, but
sure.
I would think, you know, they probably get kind of bored and maybe a little sick of Rocky Road and they just want to do something else. I bet you he goes back or does his own thing. I don't think he's there to stay.
Yeah. And probably not there to scare you either. Right. He's just doing his own thing and being mischievous and you're catching, you know, a moment or two of them.
Yeah.
So good story.
Oh, well, I hope so. Thank you. I love you guys. You guys are amazing. I listen to you guys every day. I work from home and I'm just sitting here with your show on and that just gets me through my day. So thank you guys. And I appreciate y'all listening to my story.
Sure. Thank you for calling in tonight. Have a great rest of your night. All right. Our phone number here,
216-446-7810
to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go to caller at 567. He's been on hold for 15 minutes. Thank you. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Rosanna. I called in a few weeks ago about the little ghost boy. I don't know if you guys remember.
Little ghost boy. Narrow it down for us a little bit.
It was, I seen him in the kitchen. My dad confirmed that he's seen it too.
Okay.
It kind of rings a bell. Yeah.
Well, I was calling back because, I have a story, but also I wanted to tell you. My aunt was listening to you guys on the podcast, I think over the weekend.
Okay.
And she's like, I heard your story on the podcast, and I wanted to tell you, because we moved around a lot. That happened in Ohio, but I guess when we lived in Texas, when I was, 4 or 5, she said that there was a little ghost boy there that haunted, I guess, that apartment that we stayed in, too. So I was like, she's like, you need to ask your dad about it. And I was like, why? I don't even remember that because, I was only 4 or 5 and it was back in the early 90s. And so I called my dad this morning and I was like, hey, dad, I'm like, was that the same little boy that haunted that apartment in Ohio? And he was like, I don't know. He's like, I don't really remember. He's like, but it could be. And I'm like, that's really creepy if it followed us from Texas all the way to Ohio. It's just weird.
That happens sometimes, though. I mean, sometimes it's connected to the people. Yeah, sometimes it's connected to an object. It's hard to know.
Yeah, my dad said that he finally told the little boy, he could go to rest and leave now, and he'd take care of whatever business needs to be done. And my dad said after that he had never seen it again. I just wanted to update you guys on that because I was like, my aunt happened to hear it, and then she was like, oh, she had to tell me about that, and I was like, well, I didn't even know that. But my new story is, I'm 30 now, but back when I was 12, and I had a sister that was 2 years younger than me, and then my little brother, and my parents had rented the Exorcist movie, and they watched it, and they're like, you guys better not watch this movie, and you guys can't watch this movie and this and that. We're like, whatever. So they went to work, and it was after school, and we're like, hey, we should watch that movie since mom and dad said we couldn't watch it. So we're all like, okay, let's watch it. So we put the movie on, and the way we had the TV set up, it was next to the closet where they used to hang their coats and stuff, and it was open. She got possessed and she started screaming or something. Well, the light in that closet, it was off. It just exploded out of nowhere and scared the freaking shit out of us. We got so scared. I don't even know. I think we just turned the TV off. We just forget the VHS thing, just turned the TV off and ran outside and didn't even finish the movie. It was so scary. I was like, what the hell?
I don't blame you. I think that would be the end of watching The Exorcist for me, too.
I think of all the movies people say they've watched and things have happened, that's the one that comes up the most.
Yeah.
Don't you?
And there's documentaries on it as well.
Really?
Of things with that. And what's the other one that had a lot of paranormal activity that came out? Poltergeist. There's a lot of weird connections on that of things that happened on set, things that happened to actors and actresses after. Not just the little girl end up dying at a young age. There's weird things with that too, but there's a lot beyond that as well.
Sure.
Those are two just very creepy movies of that era.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, my dad, he's a preacher, so, he was, we didn't tell, of course, we're not going to tell him. So I waited, I think I told him, years later, mm-hmm. and I told him the story about what happened, and he's like, I told you guys not to watch that movie, and this and that, and I'm like, really, Dad? And, my dad, he's, really sensitive, so he can feel a lot of things, but he also can see things, and so if I ever have, a problem or anything, I call my dad, and I'm like, hey, Dad, I had, this weird dream or something, and he's the same way. He can tell, when I, one of us are, not feeling right or, something heavy going on in our life. My dad, he knows already.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I just thought I'd call in my story, and I love listening to you guys.
Thank you so much
for listening.
Thank you. And I have one more quick question. Did you rewind?
Yes.
She did. She rewound the movie.
No, I don't remember. Oh.
I saw a sticker on something.
Be kind, please be kind, rewind.
That's yeah. right.
I saw a sticker on something the other day, and I don't know where we were, but it was an old Blockbuster sticker. Oh, it was at the used video game movie store that I was looking at, and they were selling. It was funny. It was a Blockbuster sticker, so you knew it was from Blockbuster. But it had said "Be kind, rewind," and it was like on a Sega Genesis cartridge or something. I'm just like,
that doesn't work.
No, but I think they just stuck them on there, so they you knew it was if it was ever taken out of the store, you knew where it was from originally.
Wow.
So there you go. All right, thank you for calling in, and thank you for sharing that story with us tonight. Really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Have a nice night.
All right,
bye.
You too. All right, there you go. Who are you going to call? Lots of people saying they had experiences watching The Exorcist. Not
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
The father wrote a book on his family's experiences. So, okay, yeah. So there's quite a bit out there on that specific haunting. So creepy stuff. Or movie. Haunting related to the movie, really. So there you go. I think that'll probably wrap up our program for the evening. I think we got through everybody. Nobody's on hold. And we're about at the hour mark. So thank you guys all for watching us live tonight. Thank you for listening. If you're listening on the podcast, you greatly appreciate it. If you like the show, press subscribe, whatever platform it is you listen to us on. And be sure to be an EPP. Every single week, we have bonus episodes, brand new one every single week, almost up to 200 of those now at ghostpodcast.com. You can also sign up through Patreon now as well. There's options there for you too, including a Patreon level. I don't really talk about this much, but on Patreon, there's of course the $5 level. You get everything you normally get, but there's also a $10 a month level and a $20 a month level. At the $10 a month level, you get advanced episodes of the regular show too. So, because we record, you know, several episodes in advance for a buffer if somebody's sick or whatever, it's there. You get access to those, and there's probably 6 or 7 of them just sitting there right now.
Right.
So if you're like, oh, I need to binge some more on episodes I haven't heard, that's the way to do it. It's $10 a month, it's a little bit more, but you get access to a little bit more in exchange for that support of the show. But you get all to that through Ghost Podcast. .com. So there you go. That wraps up the program for today. Thank you all for tuning in. Like I said, we do greatly appreciate it. Could not do this thing without you. Join us again here next Tuesday night for another Spiritual Spirits. Join us again on Thursday night for Confused Room.
Yeah.
With Jenny. I think we're shooting for 9 o'clock, but we'll see how that pans out. I know we have some guests in from out of town that night.
So we're going to push it back an hour this week?
I don't know. We'll
okay.
Watch Facebook, and I will post the time
it's
up
news
there.
To me, so I'll watch Facebook.
I'm going to shoot for that time, but we'll see. So it'll be Thursday night at some point, but watch for that and join us then too. All right. Until next time, for Jenny Abruski, I'm Tony Abruski. Thanks for listening to and watching another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.